This is the Steve Gerber Show on the Michigan Talk Network.
How many days we have left here? 12, 13? Heading for the election. Of course, Republicans could have played out the Kavanaugh confirmation a bit longer. If they had, it would have driven more voters to the polls in favor of their agenda. People discussed it overall, and a lot of women. The number of women that came and talked to me and spoke to me and dropped me letters about the treatment of Kavanaugh, I think outnumbered the men. I mean, guys didn't like the idea that, what are they doing, going back to the yearbook and checking on my yearbook and whatever. I don't know what I wrote in my yearbook. I'm going to be honest with you. Did I drink beer? I did. Did I like beer? I did. Does that disqualify me for the rest of my life? No, it doesn't. I wrote some flippant comment when I was 17 years old in a yearbook. Does that matter? No. But the Democrats don't seem to want to let it go. They say if they retake the House, many of the Democrats, we are going to go after Kavanaugh. We're going to do more investigations. We're going to impeach him. By the way, interesting to note that none of the accusers have come up with any additional evidence. I thought there was a possibility that there would be a card that would be dealt from the bottom of the deck that would come back and say, oh, we've got this or we've got that. Nothing. Silence. Since he was confirmed to the Supreme Court, I think that's interesting. Joining me now, Adam Carrington, assistant professor of politics at Hillsdale College, talking about Kavanaugh and what happens next. Professor, welcome to the program.
Good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. All right, so there's talk of impeaching Kavanaugh. First of all, I don't know that this has ever happened. You'd be an expert on that as far as the Supreme Court goes. Impeaching judges at the federal level, it's very difficult to begin with, isn't it?
Yes, it has happened to lower court judges, usually because they caught them actually breaking laws, like taking bribes for giving decisions. The only thing that has ever happened at the Supreme Court level is there was a justice impeached but not removed, but that was all the way back in 1804, 1805, and the precedent that was set then set a really high bar that you can't just do it because you didn't like the guy or you didn't like that the other majority party or the other majority president put him into place. So it would be the first time ever if they actually not only impeached him, but actually removed him.
Politically speaking, the Supreme Court for a number of years, fairly quiet on a lot of things. I think the time in the 20th century it really blew up would have been under FDR when he tried to pack the court because he didn't like the decisions that were being handed back on his New Deal programs. And he thought that he could pack the court, and that, of course, was declared unconstitutional and thrown back as well. But I haven't seen this kind of rancor, this kind of vitriol, this kind of partisan attacks on a guy who appears from where I stand, and you tell me, Adam, Kavanaugh's as qualified as they come, aren't they? Isn't he?
I think that if you were going to create someone in a lab to be a Republican nominee for the Supreme Court, you couldn't have done any more accurate than Kavanaugh. He has been raised in the Federalist Society, the conservative legal organization that really is pushing these things, and he has spent his entire life, his education, his work, his being a judge on the lower court and the D.C. Circuit to do this. And I think what we're really seeing here is the poisoning of the process that began with Robert Bork in the 80s, continued with Justice Clarence Thomas in the 90s, has only progressed or degraded, you could say, worse and worse to where the qualifications don't matter as much as what the political outcome of the nomination might be.
I think that what we've witnessed here, Adam, is the left going absolutely berserk because the method and the tools and the instruments they have used to affect policy in America most effectively the last 50 or 60 years, the Supreme Court has been taken away from them. I mean, you go all the way back to Eisenhower. They've been manipulating court decisions and outcomes that they couldn't get done through the legislature for 50 or 60 years. And now that lever of power has been taken away, shocking them completely, because if Hillary Clinton were president, the court would have a 6-3 left swing right now, and things would be very different. The Second Amendment would be in trouble. The First Amendment would be in trouble. The Fourth Amendment might be in trouble in some ways, in my estimation. So I think they're just shocked that this was taken away from them. What do you think?
I think so. I would say with Eisenhower, he said, I've made two mistakes, and both of them are sitting on the Supreme Court.
There you go.
And I think that's right. I think what you've never seen is a solid, originalist, textualist majority on the court since in the last 60, 70, 80 years. And I think Democrats and liberals have never had to deal with that. Republicans have had to deal with a wishy-washy possible majority, but never one that was really going to hold the line on an originalist view of the Constitution.
Squishy.
I think that's partly why you see them. They've never had to deal with that kind of situation.
To me, it looks pretty obvious that they want to delegitimize the Supreme Court. So when the Supreme Court strikes down ridiculous leftist leanings and ideas and ideologies, that they'll say, you see, those are just those old white guys. Because that's what they'll call the Supreme Court, even though there's plenty of women and plenty of people of color on there. They'll call it old white guys and attack it that way to delegitimize it. I want to ask you something else. Adam Carrington here, assistant professor of politics at Hillsdale College. In talking about the Supreme Court, something else that's come up, and I just mentioned it, is that there are those pushing this idea that the Supreme Court could have 15 members or 20. Some people say 50 members, and basically watering down the Supreme Court completely. But you would have to change the law, I believe, of 1869 that was put in place that puts the number of Supreme Court justices at 9. That happened after the Civil War because there were as many as 10 during Lincoln's tenure. But it sets the number of Supreme Court associate justices or justices total at 9. And that'd be very difficult to change, would it not?
Given how long it's been there. So you're right. There is no constitutional requirement for how many justices there should be, just that there must be one. And I think not only is that long-standing, but it's proved very workable. And I think what politically would be the problem there is the same thing FDR ran into in the 1930s, which is, why are you doing it? Are you doing it because the court isn't functioning the way it should be as far as deciding cases? No, it would be purely political because you don't like the outcomes, and that makes the court political in a way that puts it, I think, no different than the legislature, no different than the president, and therefore violate separation of powers. We need rule of law by having an independent court. That's, by the way, something Kavanaugh recognizes. And I think that any attempt to change the number would be pure partisan hackery, to be honest.
Well, I think that's a good pure partisan hackery. I think that'll be the term for the day. Here's the thing. It didn't do FDR any good to go after the court. He backed away from it quickly. But I wonder if the Democrats today are smart enough to do that. They lost on the Kavanaugh when they put all of their money and went all in on it. They didn't do well there politically. It's shown in the polls now that it's helping Republicans as we head towards the midterms. If they continue to go after Kavanaugh, if they have a majority in the House afterwards, I think there's a political penalty that will be paid again and again and again if they don't know well enough when to leave it alone. I'll give you the last word.
I think that's the case, and I think it shows a miscalculation that began with Gorsuch when they tried to nuke the filibuster there, that they have made tactical mistake after tactical mistake. I don't see any reason to think that they've learned that lesson.
I think you're right, and I think that's why you're the professor, and I'm just a guy on the radio, Professor Adam Carrington, professor of politics, assistant professor, to be accurate, at Hillsdale College. I greatly appreciate your time. Very well said.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
There you have it. Adam Carrington, everybody, here on the program. A political miscalculation. Keep playing the same card. You're losing, but keep playing the same card. Not a good idea. This part of the program brought to you by Wolverine Water Systems, Michigan's premier water treatment company, serving Michigan since 1947. Locally owned and operated, Wolverine delivers statewide. Get your free water test today by going to WolverineWaterSystems.com. That's WolverineWaterSystems.com. Hey, by the way, I was a customer long before I was on the radio, so it's the real deal. You can trust it. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
Get your free water test today from Wolverine Water Systems. Are you tired of the way your water looks, tastes, or smells? With decades of experience, Wolverine Water can manage your situation no matter what the problem. And every single Wolverine Water System is made right here in Michigan because we're locally owned and operated. Wolverine offers a variety of systems to guarantee we meet your water needs. Get your free water test today from Wolverine Water by logging on to WolverineWaterSystems.com. WolverineWaterSystems.com. WolverineWaterSystems.com.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism, 1 in 110. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism.
Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs.
Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Attention all Bridge Card users. Did you know you can now use your Bridge Card at many Michigan farmers markets? Farmers markets are a place where Michigan families can connect with local farmers and purchase fresh, healthy produce. Now that opportunity is available to even more Michigan families. Thanks to the Michigan Farmers Market Association and our partners, many farmers markets across the state now accept Bridge Cards. To find one near you, visit mifma.org. This message sponsored by the Michigan Farmers Market Association and the Michigan Association of Broadcasters.